Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's an exciting day. I can't think of a better way to start this
full
week.
Full of energy, right?
Yeah, full of energy, pizzazz, sparkles,
Wait,
and glitter.
Did you just
eyeliner.
Pick the word pizzazz?
Yes.
I love that.
I've never used that word,
yes.
But I'm using it right now.
I like the bell.
So
can
the
I
bell,
have the bell?
So the bell is my staple moment, and because I do love you, yes, we can share the bell.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
The voice you hear right now in studio, in the flesh, is Frankie Grande. Welcome.
Yes.
I rung my own
that
bell.
That was an aggressive bell.
Wow. It was. Like, you were acting like you were on a trivia game.
Oh, girl.
You got it right.
I am very competitive, so if there's anything that I can potentially lose, I'm going to try real hard to win.
Okay, good.
But I won't win, because that's just my track record.
Well, that's the thing, because I feel like the last time we talked to you, you were doing the eighth cycle, right?
Oh, I won that, meaning I finished it, so therefore I won it.
It's a personal win.
Exactly, of course. I did all 545 miles. So
oh, really?
That is
a
wild.
So no one held you? Or
no one held me. No one had to push. I didn't have to get off my bike at any moment. So I was very proud of myself.
Please tell me you had like the juiciest burger afterwards.
Oh,
though.
I ate. Okay, so that's the thing, I think. Hi.
So hi.
Super glad that
we
I
just
could
dove
be here.
Right in.
This is, I just for everyone watching at home, this is the gayest room I've ever been in. And that is saying something coming from Frankie Grande. Because I am the gayest person with the gayest thing.
And
so
it's
this
the best
is amazing.
Thing.
Oh, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
But you don't know on the AIDS life cycle, like you have to fuel your body. So you eat so much. You burn like something crazy, like over 2,000 to 3,000 calories a day.
Wow.
So you're just shoveling food into your body.
And you're already small.
I'm not petite.
I don't want to say small.
Yeah, you're already really short.
Thank you. Like I squeezed you, and
yeah, you
even
did,
though
yeah.
you acted like you have love pounds, no.
Yeah. It is tight.
You cracked three ribs when you did that. So thanks. I'm gonna need to be hospitalized after this is done.
Yeah. So send her the bill because we don't need it. I'm not taking it.
Okay. Let's talk about while you're in LA.
Was that an inappropriate
thing? That was a
moment.
No, that was a good moment. Look at you. You're catching on. You're so good at this.
Well, I'm thinking of it like, ba-dum-bum.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly
that's
how
what
I
need.
Did it.
That's
yeah.
what we
okay.
when
we
you someone came from theater and comedy, this
right.
is what
exactly.
happens.
Which, speaking of theater, Rock of Ages, you're jumping back in.
I'm so excited. Yes, I'm returning. I'm reprising my role from Broadway of Franz here in Los Angeles in the LA sit-down production of Rock of Ages in a new theatrical space called The Bourbon Room.
Ooh, nice.
It's going to be very, very fun and interactive. So it's going to be like an immersive version of the show. So we've never done anything like this with Rock of Ages.
Really?
So it's going to be really interactive, which
I thought
cool.
Rock of Ages already, I mean, you go into people's space and you sing with them and to them and all that.
We always have the fourth wall, you know? I mean, the character Lonnie is designed to break the fourth wall and constantly address the audience.
Which
and it's kind
that.
Of like a sing-along, but we will actually be in the space with you, you know, like I'll be able to like grab your drink off your table or like, you know, whatever. Like there's a scene where we're actually choreographed to eat the people's food. Like it's going to be like, it's very immersive.
Well, the thing is we know you come from like a family of theater queens, which I am obsessed with.
Yeah.
So what was important about this time to kind of jump back into that realm again?
It's not that I haven't left the realm really. Like, you know, like I started Broadway when I was a wee lass of 23.
I thought you were going to be like 12.
No, I was 23 when I first joined Broadway. But my first professional gig was, I don't know, somewhere in my late teens. And then I just haven't ever really left theater. I think my biggest chunk was when I was like a YouTuber. And like that was my career for two and a half years, 3 years. And that's when I didn't do any theater at all. But like I went from Broadway to producing Broadway shows.
Wow.
Then I went back to Broadway for Rock of Ages, and then I've been doing lots of off-Broadway shows because why? Because they're the passion projects
you
that
are.
I love. Like this show, Titanic, that I am doing off-Broadway, and this is like total
what is it, non sequitur, because like we don't even have a date for the show's returning yet, but it will return. It's the most fun show I've ever done in my entire life, off Broadway.
So I love that.
I didn't realize that because we obviously were not in New York, so we missed that whole world.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of theater. Like, you know, it's my passion. You know, like theater live is my passion. I mean, you don't get me. I mean, Nickelodeon is such a blessing. I love being able to play Frankini, this loud, flamboyant, effervescent character on a kid's TV show is like so magical and
that
wonderful.
That is so far from who you are.
I know, seriously. No, it's his name is Frankini, and they wrote the character for a reason. But basically, he's an egomaniacal YouTuber that will do anything for likes.
I mean, don't know any of those people.
Hello. Hi, guys. But, you know, like, it's just, like, that's such a blessing, but, like, we don't have a live audience, you know? Yeah. Except that live audience, like,
it's the energy.
It fuels me. I turn into this magical creature that, like, has magical powers when I'm in front of an audience.
Yeah, that's beautiful. But on the other side of that, when you have a great audience or great people around you, you get energized. You feel like you're an empath, and, like, if there's the wrong people around you, you'll take that on as well?
You know,
do you get drained at all?
What it does is it forces me to turn up my shine, turn up my brightness, turn up my spark.
Really?
And then what it does, at the end of the day, sure, I'm drained, but, like, I will win you over no matter what, or I will turn your day around no matter what. Like, that's my purpose on this planet, is to bring laughter, light, and joy to people. So if you do not want the laughter, light, and joy, it just means I have to work harder.
So how do you, because obviously that's you as a performer, but how does that affect you in your personal life? Because as someone that, you know, I also have a very big personality, and oftentimes when you walk into a room, you hold the energy, and if there's a day that you are off, or you're not feeling it, and everyone's just like, wait, is Frankie okay? Is he mad? What's going on?
Right.
How do you handle that? Because sometimes you do need a break.
You know, when I go into if I am not feeling like 100% like spiritually connected and like very full, and I come into contact with someone who is less so than I am, I often will dig deeper and figure it out, like in order to help that person. Like I very rarely fall into a place of like, well, okay, I'm negative and you're negative, and so I'm gonna dive into your negativity. It just flips my day on its head.
Do you have someone that does that for you though? Because you can do that for other people, but, like, who's that person for you?
I mean, sometimes John Eric, who's sitting here with me, like, he often is that person.
Come
for
on, shout
me.
Out. Yes.
He'll always do that for me. Obviously, I'm surrounded by an amazingly loving family.
Yeah.
I have a beautiful boyfriend. His name is Hale Leon.
And he's perfect so and wonderful.
And
he's cute.
Yeah, he is fine. And he is kind. And he is caring. And he's attentive. So, like, you know, if I'm not feeling 100%, like, he will be like, yo, what's up? Babe, are you good? And then I have an amazing community, like my best friends and my sober community also really help me if I'm struggling or getting through, like having a S-H-I-T?
I mean, say it. We'll bleep it out.
Shitty day?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Again,
she's like, no, don't say it. I'm like, is that still a curse word? I need like the REA list of words.
There's like seven words that you can't say.
That I'm allowed to say.
You should just press that bell twice when that happens. That'll be like your censorship thing.
I'm like, poopy day.
Frankie Grande again is in the studio with us. Oh my God, we've been just talking about so many interesting things. One, happy 6 month anniversary to you and your boyfriend.
Yes. My boo.
I mean, that's like 12 years in gay people's
it
world.
It is, I know.
Like, y'all are like the Up couple from like the Up movie, Disney Channel, or Pixar.
Yes.
Y'all are like the cute little old man and like,
we
are so cute.
Oh my God, we don't have a dog yet, but I'm sure we'll get one soon.
Oh, for sure.
But our house does fly, which is really cool.
And you're sober, so it's real.
Yeah, exactly. It is real. And he's sober, too, which is also like, whoa!
Oh, that's amazing. Wait, how did you meet?
We met country line dancing at Oil Can Harry's in the Valley.
Really?
Yes, okay. We did.
Now, look, it wouldn't be me if I wouldn't say that's the whitest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. But that's also beautiful. I'm from the South. I love a good line dance.
You know what I'm saying?
So that's beautiful.
Listen, it was like, for me, it was like such a moment of fate. Like, we were actually brought together by the universe because, like, I had been hitting up the clubs in West Hollywood and going up and down the street and looking for them boys. And listen, like, as a sober gentleman, like, you know, you can easily stay out with that Red Bull. You know what I'm saying? I could be out till 5 a.m. having the best time of my life. Uh-oh. I lost my sound. Oh, there it is. You know, I was like, oh, do you just turn me off?
Yeah. We're off. Like, enough this of
this. This is getting a bit much.
Sober does not mean I don't got club and party and go out and have a good time.
Yeah.
But it was like, that was just like, I had exhausted the strip. Like, if I saw one more person in West Hollywood again, anyone, yeah. I don't care who you were, I would projectile vomit on your feet. So
I
just was done. And then, but one like nice, I met a really nice group of people and they were like, you know what? We go out to Oil Can Harry's on Tuesdays and Fridays. Do you want to come? And I was like, you know, sure, fine. Like, and I went there. It was completely deserted. It was really fun. And I was like, you know what? This is dress rehearsal. I'm going to come back on Friday with my crew.
Oh.
And then I rolled into Oil Can Harry's with all of my best friends and all my theater friends and all my gays.
Oh, wow.
We took it over. We were very obnoxious, apparently. I found out from Hale afterwards because they were like, why is it so packed today? Who are these extra bodies?
Yeah, they're like, wait a second. This is
what
not
is
the normal
going
crew.
On?
Yeah.
Why is West Hollywood all up in Ventura? Like, we rolled in with our, like, nipples out. And everybody was like, what's going on?
They smelled the gay down the street. That's what they did.
And, like, you know, and but I saw him, and it was literally, for me, it was, like, absolutely love at first sight. I was like, who is that man? He's so, like, joyful and, like, having a great time and so cute. And then he, like, evaporated. And I was I lost him. I was like, what am I going to do? I'll never find him again. And 45 minutes later, he appeared again in the dance floor. And I was like, I am not losing him this time. So he exited the dance floor, went straight to the bathroom, and I chased him into the bathroom.
Ooh.
I did. And I was like, hello, I'm Frankie. Nice to meet you. And he was like, hi. He was fixing his hair, which if you've seen his Instagram, you know his hair is insanely perfect at all times. So
good
that
hair.
Is, I've now discovered that is his pet peeve.
Yeah.
It is, he cannot have a single hair out of line. And anyway, we just started talking and eventually I convinced him that he was like, I can't. I was like, can we dance? And he was like, no, you don't want to dance with me. I'm a nerd.
Aww,
and I was like,
that's hot.
And that's even more charming.
I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd too. And then eventually I convinced him to have my first dance and he asked me all these nerdy questions and I could verify my nerdiness.
Aww.
And
so
that's why we started
cute.
To dance.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit because I know you've mentioned a lot about your sobriety.
Back to the bathroom?
In the bathroom.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the guy.
I just wanted to know more about the glory holes. I think it's interesting, though, that you said that he's also sober as well. And then, you know, going through the West Hollywood party scene, that is not a sober place. So I guess what was that moment for you when you were like, oh, I do need to kind of take on this new journey of sobriety?
Well, I'll start a little bit further back. Like, basically, when I came off of Big Brother and my level of fame had gone from, it literally doubled. So, like, the amount of, like, fame in the world that I had had just, like, doubled coming off of Big Brother. And it also opened me up to an entire world of cyberbullying that I was not, I just wasn't prepared for it. I was not prepared.
Really?
You know,
even with like someone like your
sister? I was never bullied. I mean, what do you mean someone like my sister?
Well, I mean, you're someone like your sister in the sense of like you're around someone that's mega famous.
Do you remember this? When you came back from Big Brother, we hung out and you didn't even hear any of her singles. It was kind of like everything had happened while he was at Big Brother.
Oh. Yeah.
He was in the house and he comes out and like his family and him are basically
like the
next level.
Family of America.
Yeah.
Like, we're the royal family
for
of America.
Sure.
When I come out of Big Brother.
I remember this. It was that week. It was like the week after.
I went into the house and when only Problem was on the radio. And when I came out, it was Problem, Bang Bang, Break Free. And
for real.
Are you kidding me?
One Mother. Yeah. And Love Me Harder were all in the top 10 simultaneously.
That had to feel wait, did I just time travel? Like, that had to feel crazy.
It was just insane. And then, you know, yes, my numbers on social media had doubled, but yes, our family exposure had like quamillionized.
Yeah.
You know, like all eyes were on us all the time. And it was like kind of like this perfect storm of fame.
Mm-hmm.
But like it just kind of like opened me up to a whole, because I wasn't bullied in high school.
Yeah.
My mom raised me so beautifully and like, you know, sheltered me a lot actually. Like I was very sheltered as a kid. Like Boca Raton, Florida is a little bubble, guys. Don't know if you know about
it. I get
from
being from the South, yeah.
You know, Boca Raton, Florida.
The Jews and the Italians.
To Muhlenberg College in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Guess who wasn't bullied? This guy.
Yeah.
So then when it got to this world of like huge fame and like all of a sudden, all these people had opinions and they had a platform upon which they could express their opinions. And I had no idea how to handle it. So, like, I just didn't handle it well. It was a lot of drinking, a lot of self-medicating. And eventually got to the point of where, like, I kind of lost myself. I lost myself. I was disconnected from my true purpose on this planet, which we all know is to bring love, light, and joy to everyone. And to help. We talked about that, right? Like, pouring myself into other people, I no longer had that ability.
You literally just turned Shira so on when she heard love, light, and joy. That's
I see. That's my sign-off here. Sign I go, send me love,
and
love.
Yeah, and I say, remember this. It's so great.
You just broke my wrist. She just gave me a high five, and she broke my left wrist.
I'm telling you.
And now that's fine.
She's very aggressive.
Right.
She's like a football player. It's like all that skinniness, like the muscles. Yeah, it's wow.
That means we have tight cores. We have like a back row. Don't try to wrap us up. We are going to talk for a much longer
Frankie
long
Grande
time.
She's like in waving. The studio
I'm
with
like,
us.
No.
Again. All right. So we're talking about your sober journey.
Yeah, sober journey.
And so you have this realization, but did you have it or did someone like show you a mirror and go,
intervention?
No, you know, it was me. I had the realization,
really?
But it was in the face of like the tragic events like surrounding Manchester.
Oh, yeah.
So my family really like needed me in that moment, and I wasn't there. Like I just wasn't present. I wasn't there, and I noticed, you know, in their faces, like the fact that they were so disappointed in the fact that I was no longer part of the solution. I was part of the problem, and I felt that as well. And that's when I decided I need help. I asked for help, which is, I think, for addicts and alcoholics, the hardest step is asking for, acknowledging that you need help and then asking for help. Because once you ask, then you just have to get into a moment of receiving, which for me was very easy. I know a lot of people have a lot of difficulty accepting help as well. But once I started getting the help and receiving the help, my God, my life just got so much better so quickly. And luckily, like the life that I had before I got lost was waiting for me.
Well, it feels
when
like
I came back to it.
That could have been your new normal, like that type of life that you were going through.
Sure.
That story where it would have been like, well, it's kind of like a habit at that point. Like, how do you break that habit?
Sure.
How do you get out of it?
And, so, and it I know it was trauma.
Yeah,
trauma started it all, and trauma is what snapped me out of it.
So I guess dealing with that trauma, and especially through your journey of like, okay, I'm going to, you know, change. How did you confront that trauma? Because that can be a moment where it's like, oh, wait, I don't even want to go near it. I'm too scared of what those feelings inside of that trauma I'm going to have to face.
Well, again, like I just didn't have, there was no choice for, I need to always be the person that is part of the solution. It's just who I am. It's in my genetic code. So once I realized that I wasn't, and once I realized that there was a solution, I think that's the other thing. Like, a lot of people don't understand addiction. Like, they don't understand that it is a genetic disease in your brain. That means there's a chemical imbalance, but when you're diagnosed with it, because it is diagnosable, because it is a disease, it's not a moral weakness. It's not like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just stop? It's not like that because it's chemical. It's in your brain, right? So once you understand that there is a disease, a diagnosis, and a solution, I immediately got into action to pursue that solution. And then now that I am doing well and I'm 2 years and 4 months sober,
come
on.
I'm going to ding that myself. You go ahead and ding it now a couple times too.
I can't ding. I'm dinging from afar, you guys.
Yeah, exactly. 2 years, 4 months, 1 minute at a time, 1 second at a time, you know? Sometimes. But now that I have that, I can give that hope to other people. And like, I can share my story on the radio and talk to you guys about it so that people that are at home, like, I don't understand what's wrong with me. I cannot break this habit. Like, maybe I am different. Maybe I am wired differently. And maybe if Frankie got sober, maybe I can too. And I'm telling you that the best way to do it is ask for help.
And what form did that help come in? Was it a therapist? Was it rehab? Was it a support group?
I started it in treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went straight to treatment. And then I got all the tools that I needed. You know, like it's amazing because if you listen and you're open to it in treatment, they'll give you all the tools that you need to stay sober for the rest of your life. And so I did. I just put everything I learned into my little toolbox. So now when I come across some cyberbullying or when I meet someone in person who I don't like or who irks me, like my solution used to be, oh, I'm going to go drink and use over this so that I don't have to think about it and never have to look at it ever again. But now my solutions are, let me get into action over this. Let me talk to a sober friend. Let me journal about it. Let me pray. Yeah. Let me meditate. Or let me just turn it over to my higher power, because I guess what? Now I know this. I do not have control over other people. I do not have control over their opinions. And if I have, if I'm powerless over something, then there is no point in me obsessing over it.
So obviously, I really want to kind of go deeper into this, because obviously you come from a very privileged lifestyle, and there's a lot of resources that you were able to have, and that's a beautiful situation. No one's, you know, discrediting that. But, you know, there could be people listening and hearing, and they're like, well, he's Frankie Grande. He lives this incredible life. I don't have that same life. I don't have those same resources. So if I go back into, I can, I, you know, if I go to a little self group, I'm still going back to a life that may not make me the happiest. So how do you tackle that when it's not someone that is just trying to look at, oh my God, you know, flowers and rainbows and all these things? Because you have to be realistic about that journey, and not everyone has those, or the ability or the money to be able to live that.
Yeah, and obviously I can only speak from my own personal perspective, because I'm only myself. But I can tell you that many people that I have met in meetings and in the rooms and have not come from my lifestyle and have found the solution through asking for help and through getting help and through accepting help and then building a crew of sober people. Listen, like a lot of people, it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic class is, you may have to cut some people from your life and surround yourself with people who have the solution, who have a connection to their higher power, who are capable of actually advising you not to go back to the bottle or not to go back to the pipe, like when things get tough, you know? And I think that is also a big thing. Like, I changed my phone number. You know, I was like, if you want to be my friend, and then you must re-earn my trust, and then I will re-gift you with my phone number. Because there was way too many people. People, places, and things are what bring you, make you relapse or make you go back into using. So you had to earn that right.
But was it scary asking for help? Like, was there ever any moment where you were like, especially entering into a new relationship, and you know, it's always a journey. It's an ongoing journey. You have the tools, but even then, those tools can sometimes still not be everything that you need. Was there ever a moment where it was like, oh wait, my anxiety's up, this is too scary, like break that down for me?
There was a lot of denial, like in the beginning, like for a long time, like I didn't know that I had a problem. And once I figured out that I had a problem, there was a lot of bargaining with yourself. And that's something that's very common amongst alcoholics.
What do you mean by that, bargaining?
Like, well, you know, if I just drink once a month, then I'm not an alcoholic. You know, maybe it's really twice a month, and then I'm not. Well, you know, well, actually, if I don't drink when the sun is in the sky, I'm not an alcoholic.
Or like one drink, just one drink for the night. I'm not going to get buzzed.
Well, you know, if I only drink tequila, I'm not an alcoholic.
Come on. Negotiating,
you
know, you're constantly
no calories.
And then eventually, you know, it was like, again, like in the face of Manchester, I was like, no, this is a problem. Like, this is a huge problem, because I'm incapable of helping my family who so desperately require my help in this moment.
And now you're obviously so positive and confident and loving. Do you ever cry? Does Frankie Grande ever cry or get stressed or break down or have anxiety? Like, what does that look like now in sober Grande, Frankie Grande world?
You know, it's such an interesting question, because I have not even thought about this, but in sobriety, I am much more capable of handling the gamut of emotions that come at me.
Really?
I cry mostly out of joy. Or if something is, if I'm remembering, like recently I've been thinking a lot about my grandfather who I lost, you know, and if something reminds me of him, like I'll get very emotional or cry. Like when I see my sister perform on stage, like I cry a lot. Moments like that.
What's that moment when seeing her on stage? Why does that make you emotional?
Because basically, like, the relationship between me and my sister is very Like we're 10 years apart. I mean, I don't think people realize that. So like when we, and we never have lived apart from each other until recently. So yeah. Like I was there while she was being raised slash like helped raise her. So I have this kind of, we're very fraternal, but also oddly paternal in ways, but also like it, then now she's kind of maternal to me, like it's just we're Italian. That's the best way to describe it. Like so when I look at her, she's my sister, she's my daughter, she's my best friend, she's my, you know, and like it's the same thing when I look at my mom, like she's my mom, but it, like sometimes I'm her parent, I gotta take care of her sometimes, and she's my best friend. So it's just like we're very unbelievably supportive, and like I'm so proud of her. Like I'm so proud of everything that we've all accomplished, but like when I see her up on stage and she's like slaying it in front of an entire arena, like I'm just so proud. Like so that brings me to tears.
That's like otherworldly.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you talk about greater purpose, you're like you're living out. Like I think about the you know, there's so many things that had to come in contact and go in a certain direction for that to happen.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Yeah. And like you can spend all day wondering like what had this has happened, what had that happened, but like you know the honest truth is like we're on one path. It is the path that we're on. Like you know, it might go, it might wander, but you're still on just that one path. That's it. And if you live, this is good advice for every person, whether you're an addict or an alcoholic or not. If you live in the past, you're in depression. If you live in the future, you're in anxiety. So just stay right here in the present, always. And then you're going to be just fine.
So, obviously, National Coming Out Day was last Friday.
Are we going to out me on this show?
I mean, no, not at all. Because I actually wanted to talk about a different...
I wasn't ready. I'm not ready to come out yet.
Well, I wanted to talk about another form of coming out. Because I feel like it's interesting as, like, I have sober friends. And a lot of times we talked about they have to come out in new friends group. It's like, I'm sober. And it can be kind of uncomfortable sometimes where they're like, well, I don't want to be the downer in the group. So how have you navigated friendships? You know, going out and saying, no, I'm not going to drink. I have fun, though, without making other people feel like, wait, should I be drinking?
Right. Well, first of all, I am still the upper in the group. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have never not been the center of fun and energy and the person organizing all the parties and going out, even in, you know, friend groups that I know still drink.
Yeah.
Interestingly, a lot of my best friends, I really didn't have to cut that many people. If they were my best friends, they're still my best friends, and they just use less when they're around me, you know? Like they stop, they don't drink as much when I'm there, but that is completely up to them. I can be around people, I can party with the best of them, they can go live their lives, and if I get uncomfortable, guess what? I just leave.
And
that's the thing. Like people were like, oh my god, I got super uncomfortable, my friends were really wasted and asking me to drink with them. I'm like, if your friends were really wasted, then guess what they don't know when you leave?
That's true.
They don't know
you
that
sneak
you
out in
left.
The back. Yeah.
Also, it's not a big deal. Take responsibility for yourself and just don't
please.
Blame someone else. Yeah,
put yourself first. That's the you know, if you're sober, you're trying to get sober out there, your sobriety has got to be the number one thing in your life. Like that's the base of the pyramid, right? You pull that out, it's like everything comes toppling down on top of it. So you have to, you know, make sure you safeguard your sobriety. And then, you know, for me, like coming out as sober was something that I was really, you know, for me, it was different because it was like a public sobriety.
Right.
Which I really wanted. I wanted to have a year under my belt. Because
now everyone's watching you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, I wanted to make sure that it was a lifestyle that I was ready to commit my entire life to. And that's, you know, sometimes daunting to people. But I can sit here to you guys right now and I'm not overwhelmed by saying I want to stay sober for my entire
life. That's amazing. Yeah. All right, so Frankie, you've been the host, you've been the musician, the theater, Broadway guy, all this. What is next?
Oh my goodness.
Comedian, personality.
What is something that you want to get?
Yeah, what's the dream in the next maybe year?
Let's see, something that I want to do that I have not yet done.
Run for president?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I just want to continue to take my platform and my influence to like a larger level and be able to help more and more people.
Yeah.
You know, it's very like, I feel like what I'm doing right now is focusing on this country and the United States, because we are in a state of emergency, people. Like if you're listening to this and you're not registered to vote, go register to vote immediately. If you know someone in your life who's 18 and not registered to vote, go get them registered immediately, because we are in a state of crisis. It is panic. So I'm focused very much on this country right now and the LGBT community. But I ultimately would love, like, you know, when we get a new president and he's a Democrat, like, to be able to extend my influence even larger and, like, go help the rest of the world, you know?
Manifest.
I want to know your thoughts on, obviously, there's buzzwords around, like, inclusion, diversity, all these amazing things that we're hearing, LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. You know, when celebrities finally start talking about it, do you feel like, you know, they should be using their platform to it, or does it sometimes come up as, like, pandering or queer baiting? Or should everyone kind of be involved in the conversation and be using their platforms for political, you know, conversation?
And that's an incredible, incredible question. And I feel like I will take the help from wherever I can get it right now. You know, I don't care if you woke up this morning, if you were a bigot yesterday and today you were like, you know what, I'm going to help the LGBT community. I will take that help from you, because we need it, frankly. And we are in no position, any of us, to deny help from somebody who just had an awakening yesterday. And honestly, I think that should be our goal, right? We should be, our goal should be educating people to the point of where they wake up from their stupidity or from their inability to love everyone or their inability to not see people as equal. Like, let's wake those people up. And as soon as they wake up, then get you on my team. Great, I'll take it.
You see, this is really amazing to me, because I think there's something about forgiveness that needs to be reconciled. So how do you go about doing that when there's so much division right now? And, like, a lot of people are very hurt and angry. And so even if, and we have people that bring up tweets from years ago and all this, and, like, and legitimately bad stuff was said and happened, but now maybe they've apologized and gone through it.
Then they should be forgiven. And then we should treat...
If they've done... I want to make sure we're talking about the people that have done the work and they have shown that, yeah, I was... I believe that stuff at one point. But there's something to be said, yeah, if it goes back and, you know, they...
Because people have gotten fired over jobs now, and I feel like at a certain point... Mm-hmm. At what point do we forgive and forget? I think this is an interesting perspective.
But that also comes from... And this is no shade, but you have to... You're not the people that they're attacking, Shira. Like, it comes from the communities that they feel... They need to feel like, hey, that person has done the work. That person has actually...
Yeah, but how do you prove that? You can't...
Well, it's through your work throughout life, right?
There's no trial by which you can tell whether or not someone has truly changed their beliefs that are guarded in their inner soul or in their head. So as long as your actions are showing to me that you have changed, whether that means you're supporting, you know, a local charity, or that means you're showing up and you're publicly speaking and saying, you know what, I have changed my ways, or, like, now I do support the community, or maybe my eyes have... Listen, as long as your actions show me that you have changed,
actions,
then whatever you believe inside your heart and your head, that's still your business. Because I can't access that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But if your actions are showing me that you've changed, then great. I believe you. You changed. I'll get stand next to me on this picket line.
Yes, I agree with that. That's so true.
Frankie Grande, this has been fabulous.
Maybe I should be president.
No, that's why I wasn't joking.
Like, I'm ready.
I wasn't joking.
You know what I'm saying?
We need a president that sings and dances. And
we would have had
dresses.
Absolutely.
Really fun.
Absolutely.
I mean,
why not? They dress too boring. Suits?
I don't know. Elizabeth Warren, she had a very pop of color pink moment at the LGBTQ forum.
Good. Well, she chose the right moment for it. That's for sure. You know what I'm saying? She needed that pop of pink.
Well, we could continue this forever.
Oh, I would have talked to you for so long.
Unfortunately, we need to go. All right. So, of course, follow Frankie Grande on social media at Frankie Grande, right?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh, at Frankie J. Grande.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Why can't you get that?
No. I got Frankie J. Grande on every single site because my equity name is Frankie James Grande.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure that it is
Frankie.
Come on, word of the day, equity.
Equity.
Love that business.
Come on, that's my union.
Come on. We love it.
So at Frankie J. Grande and Rock of Ages in Hollywood.
Yes.
RockofAgesHollywood.com. Tickets are on sale now.
Okay, and when are you starting?
Excited.
Wait, when are you starting?
Our show starts previews next month.
Okay.
And we open early December.
We will be there.
Yeah.
I mean, you are welcome to come back here anytime you want. Let's go. There's your
name.
Oh,
my God, please. I'm clean. I'm excited. Whenever you guys want me, let's go.
Oh, honey, we'll have you on tomorrow.
Let's change the world, girl.
Yes.
Let's change the world.
We only live once.
Yeah. YOLO.
All right, that's
YOLO.
It.
The YOLO.